This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios,
here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
What's up, guys? How are you? Welcome into another edition of Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. My name is Matt Perrault. Mike Herzing will be alongside here in just 1 second, and we've got a great program lined up for you guys here today. Our News and Notes segment hits you on the other side. Then Mike Herzing and I are going to get into it with our automotive reviews. Looking forward to that. We're going to have some great interviews and conversation, as we always do here on Let's Talk Wheels. But look, if you guys haven't been a part of the Let's Talk Wheels family, we want to give you a chance to kind of join in here on social media. We're on Instagram and we're on Facebook. Just go and search Let's Talk Wheels, and you can go and send Mike Herzing a question. Now, as we get towards the end of the year and we're getting to play to basically where the seasons are changing over and buying vehicles at the end of the year, a lot of people have buying questions in the year, you know, at the end of the year for December. Like, when do you buy? Is it a good time to buy? Should I lease right now? How do I do that? What's the best approach to handling that at the end of the year? Well, ask Mike. Mike can help you. If you have a big automotive repair, if your car just broke down, or you haven't been driving as much, and you're worried about your engine, or you're worried about the fluids, or the car's been sitting idle for a long time because we're all working from home, so what about the hoses in your vehicle? Whatever car questions you might have, really go and send Mike a question. We will answer it for you directly, but then we also may bring it to the show and have a conversation about it on the show, because look at, your questions are probably very similar to what other people around the country may have. Now, we all live in different parts of the country, right? I live in Las Vegas. Mike lives in Houston. You might live in Boston. You might live in Chicago. Wherever you might live, it doesn't matter. Cars are cars, trucks are trucks, SUVs are SUVs. Sure, environment matters, but the car questions you have could very well help somebody else who's also listening somewhere else around this great country. So definitely reach out to us on social media. Please take a look at that. Facebook or Instagram, go and search Let's Talk Wheels. Send Mike a question and let us help you with your automotive questions, whatever they may be, as we head into this cold, dark December and January and everything else. And then keep it when you go into the spring and the summer. Same questions, same opportunities may be there as well with Mike Herzing. Up next, it's time for our News and Notes segment. Mike Herzing joins the program. Don't move. Great show lined up for you. It's Let's Talk Wheels right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
Listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault. Time for our News and Notes segment before we get into some automotive reviews and a conversation with our friends over at Ram. But Mike, let's start talking a bit about the Ford Bronco here because, Well, the pandemic's making more problems for people, unfortunately.
Yes, it is. It's killing everybody. I mean, we have part shortages at GM, you know, with the Tahoe and Suburban and things like that, and the Yukon and all that plant in Arlington. We've had problems with the Corvette plant in Bowling Green, Kentucky, with just missing one part. If you're missing one part, you can't put the vehicle together. Everything stops. And unfortunately, Ford has a problem here with some of the part shortage on the roof of the Bronco, and this is the big Bronco.
Yeah, what's interesting about this is, you know, the Bronco is one of, according to this article that we're talking about, is one of four critical new product lines for Ford that they're going to launch in 2021. But, you know, the list includes the Mustang Mach-E electric vehicle, the complete makeover to the F-150, and what they're calling, you know, the Bronco and the Bronco Sport. So the Bronco Sport is already out, right?
Right.
But the Bronco itself is not.
No, it's not. It's not going to be out to probably the end of the summer. And they had hoped to be, you know, first quarter or, you know, but not now. It's going to be in the summer. You know, part of the problem is some of these things are structural. Some like the roof, for example, it's got to go through all kinds of testing and all this other stuff with the government and all the crash testing and things like that and product testing. And it takes a long time. So you can't just say, okay, so-and-so company's got a COVID problem. Let's go to somebody else and have them build it. You can't. It's got to stick with the one company, and unfortunately, this stuff is screwing with everybody's plans, and It's just happened. Now, the Bronco Sport, if people think that there's a Bronco at the dealer, I had somebody call me yesterday. He goes, look, the Broncos are out. I'm going to go look at one. I said, that's the Bronco Sport. Yeah. And they're going, it's the same. And I went, no, it's not. The Bronco Sport is basically an Escape.
Right.
And a Ford Escape with different clothes on, you know. And it looks good. It's a neat little vehicle. Don't get me wrong. But it's not a real four-wheel drive. It's an all-wheel drive. And it's, you know, it's got the little four cylinders and stuff. It's kind of like, I hate to say it because it really wasn't a bad vehicle, the old Bronco 2. Remember the Bronco? Then they had the Bronco 2. There are people I know that love those things, and but they were smaller and a little bit, you know, smaller engine, a little better fuel economy, a lot cheaper. And this is really a problem with Ford because it's going to hurt. It's going to ding their stock price a little bit. They've got a lot of people that are depending on it to come out because they've already paid for it.
Right.
And but it's actually an inventory problem, period, because right now for the, in the U.S., inventories are running about a million vehicles below what they could consider normal. Okay, this according to J.D. Power and IHS Market and all those guys tracking everything. One of the Tim Jackson, head of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association, says our local dealers have 700 to 800 vehicles in inventory. I mean, there are dealers here in Texas will have 800 or 900 trucks alone.
Right. Okay?
And right now, he says they've got 70 or 80 on the ground. And same thing here. I drove by a Chevy dealer the other day. I was coming back from my lake house, and it's a big store. And they usually have like 600 to 700 vehicles. The parking lot's half empty. You can throw a rock across there and not hit anything. They don't have anything in stock. They're looking on Craigslist, and they're looking on, you know, Facebook Marketplace to try to buy used vehicles just to put on their showroom. It's just crazy.
What does that do? Like, we've often heard – the cars that are on the lot are burning a hole, obviously, in the lot because they're compounding interest and they need to move them to sell them.
Mm-hmm.
When those vehicles aren't there, obviously you want the inventory, right? You want to be able to sell and you want the options for your customers. But what does that do to the bottom line for the dealerships?
Well, first of all, my dad used to tell me for years, you know, he would say, you know, you can't sell apples from an empty cart. You've got to have the product there. You've got to have the right color. Somebody wants a white one. Somebody wants a blue one. Somebody wants this trim level. You don't have it. They want a V8. They don't want a six-cylinder. They don't want a four-cylinder. They want a diesel. All that stuff is, you know, somebody has – this is something they're going to pay for and pay a crazy amount of money for. They don't have them. And so they go to somebody else that does. Luckily for them, though, not everybody else has them either.
Right.
It's nuts, and as far as the bottom line, it really hurts it because they need to have that inventory turning over.
But they don't have the money out, though, right? I mean, they're not – the money's not sitting there on the lot is what I'm saying.
Well, a lot of the manufacturers will help them with that. They'll say, okay, for the first 90 days or whatever, we're going to pay the floor plan on this vehicle. Just like when you see Conn's, you see Best Buy and all that stuff, they don't necessarily own – like Conn's doesn't own all their stuff. It's all on floor plan, and that's how they keep their cash. But the dealers will really help with that. You know, they'll have maybe a slower model that sells not quite as good. Maybe they'll – instead of having the Ford Platinum, maybe they'll have the Lariat or something, a much lower trim level. And we've got a bunch of Lariats. We want to move them, and they'll cut a deal on it. But now with the pandemic, there aren't any deals. I mean, the dealers are just taking whatever they can get, and they'll sell it. And Ford's trying to tighten their belt. They're going to – there's a lot of people I know at Ford – back in 2008 when they cut down on employees, what they really did was go and hire a bunch of people under contract labor instead of having them as an actual employee. And that saved them a lot of money. And the contract, you know, they pay good money. But the problem is now they're having to cut – they're cutting some of the contract people to try to, you know, help the stock price and the bottom line. And I can see that, but there are going to be a lot of good people out of work.
Yeah, that's not good. That's, you know, I've talked about this before, but – you know, one thing about the pandemic is that we're going to come out of it, right? We see
right,
the light.
Sure.
But here's the problem is that the after effect of 2020 is still going to impact 2021.
Oh, absolutely.
There's going to be kind of like a reverberation from 2020 that's going to echo out for maybe years. I hope not. But I feel like we're also looking forward to the spring and the summer saying, okay, let's get the vaccine. Let's get us back to normal. Let's get us able to be out in bars and restaurants and be out shopping
sure.
and be out in you know, ballparks and stadiums and whatnot. And, like, the impact of 2020 is not going to go away. Like, we're going to have a lot of problems from what happened for the last year and a half. That, like, I noticed this in my own life. Like,
mm-hmm.
I went for a stretch last week where I didn't leave my house for 5 days. 5 days. I didn't leave my house.
You didn't put pants on? You didn't put pants on for 5 days?
I had sweatpants on, but I didn't need to go anywhere. Like, it right. wasn't like I was not trying to leave my house for, like, the virus or anything. It wasn't like I was not leaving. I had nowhere to go.
Right.
I didn't need to go shopping. I didn't need to go food shopping. I didn't need to go to work. I didn't need to go to a casino. I didn't need to do anything. And, like, I watched, like, I just, like, gained 3 pounds from not moving. Like, it was right. crazy. Like, I just, like, I'm looking at, like, my Apple Watch. I'm like, how many steps did I have? Like, I didn't move. I just didn't walk around.
Right.
So it's just, it's one of those weird things where we will look back on 2020 and then have to realize the problems and issues and try to rectify in 2021. But that doesn't mean 2021 is going to be simple. It means we've got to get, you know, these car companies got to get their inventories. You know, we got to build vehicles. We got to get back to work and build these things out. And we got to get them out to the dealerships. And the dealerships need to open back up and have a full ability to have full capacity and get people in to buy their vehicles and then finance the vehicles. And, like, it's just, I just feel like we are – everyone's rushing so fast to get to, you know, to the vaccine and get out of it.
Right.
I'm just like, people, we're not going to be that much better. Like, okay, so we'll be able to go back, but we're still going to have to deal with all the, you know, the hole we've dug for the last year and a half.
Well, think of the dealers don't have the profit they had before. They're struggling right. a little bit. So they're not sponsoring the Little League teams that they did before, and they're not maybe advertising like they did before. Like, you know, it's even affected us.
Right.
There's a lot of things that aren't happening like it was before. And so that all trickles down and changes. Now, granted, we find a way to make it. We find a way to roll with the punches and do things a little differently, like work from home and things like that. But it's going to cause significant changes long term. A lot of people will be working from home, period. I can go to Dallas and the streets are empty still.
Yeah.
In Kara, Houston, traffic's not as bad as it was, but it's probably 75% of what it was.
Wow.
So it's just a little different. And but the car dealers here are working the best they can, but their stock is way down. So they have, you know, getting, I'm going to go buy this vehicle because the rates are so cheap and things like that. You're going to have to be able to flexible to say, I may not get the color or the trim level that I want, but it'll be there eventually. So the folks that bought this Bronco, it's a problem. But there's also other problems. You know, we need to talk about this other story. That Hyundai, our folks at Hyundai, they make a great vehicle. But they're having a fire issue. And so there's all about this. They've got a recall of another 130,000 vehicles because of engines could fail and cause fires. Well, wait a minute. What happens is there's some manufacturing debris in the oil system, and it could break loose, like some metal shavings or something, and it goes down and tears up the rod bearings. And if somebody's stupid enough to drive it till the engine's knocking like crazy, it could throw a rod through the block, okay, and which is, you know, the death knell, and then the oil could leak onto the exhaust and it could catch a fire. And so they're, one of their ways of fixing it, they're going to put a different knock sensor in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, there's thing when the car starts pinging, like you got some bad fuel, whatever, it changes the timing and it will also send a code to the engine, well, to the computer. Well, this knock sensor is going to say it's knocking, you need to stop. And it's going to be flashing the light on your check engine light, it'll be flashing and things like that. And I know that's it's kind of like dumbing down. It's like, you know, it's like eating the Tide Pods, but still. Yeah. They'll fix it. Hyundai's a great company. They're really good at this. They've had different problems with the fuel injector leaking. They've had a high-pressure line break. I remember Ford had the same kind of problems with the 2013 Escape. Something a little just kicked their butt every single time. But either way, so check out, folks, if you've got a Hyundai 2012 Santa Fe's, 2015 and 16 Veloster, the Sonata Hybrid, 2011 to 2013, 2016. So basically, if you have a 2.4 liter, a 2 liter, a 1.6 liter engine, check with your dealer and they'll help you out.
And listen to your car, right?
Listen to your car.
Right? I mean,
turn the radio down.
At the end of the day, listen to your car. Like, listen to what's being, you know, if your car's making a funny noise that's never made before, chances are you don't want to keep driving on it. Like, I had a girlfriend in high school that was like that. We just drove her. She seized the engine because she was driving without any oil.
Well,
and the car was making a horrific squeaking noise, and like the pistons were grinding. And I was like, "Didn't you notice that the car was making that?" "No, I didn't notice." Like, okay.
Well, let me explain something. They've had 3,100 fires.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's nuts.
Yeah. But then again, Tide Pods, like you mentioned, there's plenty of people who have eaten those Tide Pods. So yeah. I don't know what the number is, but it's probably higher than 3,100.
You're probably right to
go ahead and eat.
I bet you can't do it, Matt.
I don't want to do it. How about that?
No, you don't.
I don't want to do it. All right, we got a lot more to come. We have our automotive reviews. Mike's got a Titan to review. I have got a Toyota 4Runner to review. We got that coming up next, and then great conversation with Carl Lally from Ram. Stick around. More to come here on Let's Talk Wheels on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Matt Perrault with you, Mike Herzing alongside. Just one second time for automotive reviews. Mike's got a Titan for you here in just one second. I had the pleasure of driving a very cool vehicle. I had a Toyota 2021 4Runner, and, well, I got the little special treatment here. The folks at Drive Shop, which is a great company that brings us our vehicles, gave me a 4Runner Trail Premium. And, look, they're only making about 4,000 of these things, okay? So to get the chance to drive one of these was really special. And this thing's unbelievable. I mean, it is. Look, you have to understand that there is a certain type of feel to a 4Runner in a Toyota. So it's not for everybody, but it's basically like a tank. I mean, this thing is so incredible. It looks great. It's got this big, huge grille. It's got great LED headlights. It's got a rack on top that looks like you could carry all sorts of fun stuff with you into the wilderness. Big, bulky, black tires. The color I had was this very interesting teal type of green that looked great. I mean, if you are someone that likes to off-road, and I took this thing on a fairly difficult off-roading trail, nothing too crazy, but into the desert, I mean, the shocks were awesome. It went over whatever. You could go through anything. I was looking around for standing water, but I couldn't find standing water. It was just incredible. The TRD, everything you'd expect, everything you'd want, highly capable, incredibly roomy, lots of standard driver-assisted features on this thing. And just an off-road beast. Bottom line, off-road absolute beast for this thing. Now, it is not the smoothest of rides. It can be a little bit of a clunky ride on. It can be a little bit of a, not a great car for fuel economy. Who cares? You aren't getting this for a fuel economy vehicle. But it's got tons of cargo space in the back. You can take this thing. Like, if you're someone who goes off-roading, you've got to drive this thing. If you go camping a lot, you've got to drive this thing. Like, you just have to. You have no choice. They call that the green a lunar rock exterior, which is really, really cool. They've got these awesome tires that are just big, and they grab on, and they really make you feel safe and secure. You got a big engine. You got all your TRD nameplates everywhere. Really cool selectable drive modes, your multi-terrain selection, your crawl control, going up and going down. It gives you all types of really cool wheel articulation when you're going off-roading and trying to find your way through, crawling over rocks and crawling over different types of things that are on, in the trail. I had a ball with this thing, and I didn't want to give it back. I mean, these are the vehicles that I feel incredibly blessed and special to be able to get behind the wheel and drive. And this 4Runner, if you can go up and get it at the highest level, it's not going to be cheap, okay? It's going to be expensive to do that. You're going to approach somewhere in the $50,000 range for this vehicle, but it's worth it, okay? It is absolutely worth it if you have a chance to get up there. And I mean, it's got tons of cool safety features for you. It's got a lot of things in there. The tech packages are okay. It's not the most technologically, advanced. You got Apple CarPlay, which is awesome. You can get a subscription-based Wi-Fi hotspot if you want. It's got the nav system and a 15-speaker JBL audio system, which are available. And I had the highest trim level, so I had them. But you had your standard forward collision warning and automated emergency braking, standard lane departure warning, lane keep assist, which are nice, standard adaptive cruise control, which is really nice. And I mean, look, it's got a you know, a base price of about $40,000, and then you're going to add on different things that you would want if you want to go all the way up to the highest trim level, which is what I had. But, you know, I think for people who enjoy the off-roading, for people who are looking for an SUV that's got incredible capability, if you live in the snow area, if you have snow around you, or if you like to go off-roading over trails, and if you have that in your neighborhood, in your area, in your state, or you like going camping, this thing's awesome. I mean, just there's no really a way around it. This thing is absolutely awesome for a four-wheel drive vehicle with the power, with the torque, with the, just the overall capability of this thing. It can do anything. Like, whatever you ask this thing to do, it can do. And it looks really sharp while you're doing it, too. The interior is really nice. I mean, it's just, I think this thing's a ton of fun. I know certain reviewers aren't in love with it because it lacks some things that they want in it. They think it's maybe a little bit too overpriced and maybe not as smooth and agile as they would like. But for me, yeah, it feels like a tank. Sure. Okay. It rides like a tank. Sure. But that's great. I mean, that's just simply really, really fun. If you are looking at, you know, a Durango, or you're looking at something, you know, even you know, if you're in the category, it's much different than a Wrangler. But if you're looking for that type of power and capability, this is something you might want to just go check out and just check out the 4Runner, the 2021. Really cool. If you can find one of these exclusive, very nice, getting a chance to drive it, but the Trail Premium, the 4Runner Trail Premium, if you have a chance to drive it, I would highly recommend you go ahead and do so. All right, Mike, what were you driving this week?
Folks, this week I was driving the 2021 Nissan Titan Pro 4X truck. Big truck. It was totally redesigned last year, and they made a lot of changes. It's always been a good truck. This is a heavy-duty half-ton truck. Almost, you know, it does a lot of things that three-quarter-ton trucks do. I know a lot of people that own these things, landscapers, people that are in construction and stuff, that beat the hell out of these trucks, and they hold up really well. In the past, the interior has been a little plasticky and things like that, and it got horrible fuel economy. That's gone. It's much better fuel economy. Got a 9-speed transmission. It's always had lots of power, 400 horsepower V8. As a matter of fact, it's the most standard power in its class, 5.6 liter. It's awesome. They added that 9-speed transmission, and it really helped the fuel economy. I think I got 17 on mine the other day, and I drove it. I drove the heck out of it. Normally, I would have got 13 or 14. This is a much better vehicle. The interior's really redesigned. It's nice and just good-looking interior. You know, pickup trucks nowadays, nobody makes a bad truck. But pickup trucks have just really become upscale. You can get this thing as the rugged Pro 4X, which is what I had. You can get the Platinum Reserve model, which is as nice as anything anybody else puts out. It is really nice. They've just got a lot of safety features. That's one thing for sure that this vehicle has, is a lot of safety features. You know, the lane divergent and things like that. It's really nice. This is a heavy-duty truck, big wheels and tires. You can get extended cab, you can get crew cab, things like that. You can get, for example, it's got 8-inch touchscreen. Now, you can also get a 9-inch color touchscreen on the infotainment system. It's got navigation. It's got all the good stuff that you want. This has got, it'll tow 9,300 pounds, or you can get one with the gooseneck hitch. You can go 11,040 pounds. So it'll tow as much as anybody else, really. And it's got this little features that people like. You can automatically check your trailer lights for you. When you add air to the tires, it honks the horn when it's full. It's got trailer sway control, moving object detection, intelligent around view monitor, I call it. Like when you go to park, it's kind of a bird's eye view. That really helps because you're parking a big truck. And it's really neat. Android, interior-wise, it's got Android Auto, Apple CarPlay. They have what's called Nissan Connect with all the navigation, all the apps, all those Connect services that are with SiriusXM. It's really neat. If you go back to the bed, it's got this little neat thing called Utilitrack. You have kind of a bed channel system. You can adjust your tie downs and everything. It's got bed rail lighting. It's got, you know, they've got a really nice covers for them, bed covers for them, part of the Nissan group. And they've even got like things like Ram has the Ram box. It has toolboxes back there. It's really kind of that are built in and made by Nissan. Really nice stuff. These vehicles start, you know, at $36,000. You know, people may not remember, and they came out with the King Cab, That was the extended cab. They came out in the 70s with that. They were the first company to come out with the extended cab vehicle. Of course, then since then, everybody's copied them. But Nissan's built trucks that you can't kill back then, and they still do.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzig.
Folks, earlier in the show, we talked about getting Carl Lally from Ram because Ram's got a big win this week. It's Motor Trend, Truck of the Year, 3 years in a row. Carl Lally from Ram. Hey, man, congratulations.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here, and what a great week.
Yeah, I tell you what, I mean, you guys are killing it out there. Now the TRX, what a fun truck.
Truck is incredible. I mean, the response has been just over the top. And, yeah, fun is almost an understatement, believe it or not, with that truck. It's just it's almost otherworldly.
Tell the folks a little bit about the truck.
So, you know, obviously we're so excited to bring this truck to market. It's something that we've been talking about for a number of years now, ever since we introduced the concept version of the truck back in 2016 at the State Fair of Texas. But really what it is, it builds off of a Ram 1500, and then it absolutely goes bonkers from there. A 6.2-liter supercharged V8 with 702 horsepower, 650 foot-pounds of torque, 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds, a top speed of 118 miles per hour. It's the quickest, fastest, most powerful production truck on the planet. So, you know, what else do you have to say once you start rattling off stats like that?
You know, you're right. I mean, it is killing it. I mean, it's – I know Ford's had a lot of success with the Raptor, but not everybody likes a V6, and everybody wants a V8. And, you know, the Ram has just been so popular lately. You've run, like I said, Truck of the Year 3 years in a row. Which trucks won each year?
Yeah, so 2 years ago it was the Ram 1500 took home the Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Then last year the Ram Heavy Duty took home the award, and then this year the TRX brought it home for us. So no automaker has ever won that of the year award 3 years in a row. So it truly was unique. We're the first one to ever get a three-peat, and we're pretty proud of that.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, you have a lot of things like going on with the, like, for example, the Jeep Grand Cherokee is the most awarded SUV in history. I think the Ram is also the most awarded truck in history. I mean, you guys just rack them up every year.
Well, we've been growing, and it's really just an example of when you put the time and the effort into the product, customers respond. And that's really, it sounds simple, but it really is that simple. And we've really taken a serious approach about not only creating trucks that look great on the outside, but also packed with innovation. Technology like the 12-inch Uconnect screen, for example, on the inside of the TRX. As much as that super powerful engine under the hood grabs people's attention, when they get inside the truck and they see the level of refinement and luxury that's available, it really is a game changer.
You know, and also it all starts, besides the fact that you guys live in these trucks and you every weekend, it's real funny. People think that it's like a 9-to-5 job. It's not. You guys, you know, I can walk into your headquarters. Nobody's wearing necessarily a coat and tie, not like some of the other OEMs. Everybody's wearing a golf shirt and slacks or something, or sometimes jeans, and you guys are out there at lunch going off-road. You're doing this, you're doing that. Every weekend, you guys are at an off-road park. I know Jim Morrison, we had him on from Jeep last week, and Jim says he's got an off-road park 3 minutes from his house. So he hits it every week, all the time, sometimes after work. It's crazy how much time you spend in your vehicles.
Yeah, it's really an extension of a passion point for us. You know, it's a lot of fun to work in this industry or any industry that you're passionate about, and that's really what we've filled our brand with. And that goes back to the decision to separate Ram from Dodge 10 years ago. It was to create this standalone, dedicated truck brand. And we've got truck enthusiasts that are involved in design, engineering, advertising, and marketing the truck. So you're absolutely right. When we get together at meetings to talk about whatever the topic is of the day, we're naturally swapping stories about things that we've towed or hunting trips that we've taken or things that we've done on vacation with our families, pulling trailers. We use the trucks as just an extension of the lifestyle. It's who we are. And it just makes working around the trucks that much more fun.
Well, you know, it's real funny. I can go on any of the Ram forums or something, And one of the people that are always on the forums are you guys. And you, it's really how much you interact. It's strange. It's not, it's strange, but it's cool how much you interact with your customers and your owners, because if they've got a question, you guys will find them the answer. But also, if they've got a problem, you guys will look at it and try to figure out what do, if we may have to make anything better next year. And it's really kind of cool.
You just have to be real with customers. I mean, it's just, we're customers, right? I mean, we buy trucks, and we have family members and friends that buy trucks. And so it's not some academic exercise of trying to understand what a truck customer wants and studying it. It's just who we are and what we live with day in and day out. So, yeah, when they have customers or when they have questions about trucks, it's easy for us to take that answer. And if something does go wrong, hey, it's just like you would for your friend. You want to get involved and make sure that it gets resolved and gets resolved quickly. And I think that's a difference that's really coming out for us. I think that's part of the reason why we're scoring so well on some of these J.D. Power appeal studies that are mm-hmm. going on and the initial quality studies. You're seeing Ram run up the ranks of those where we're now the number three brand in the market for initial quality. It's that kind of attention to detail that ends up, you know, giving you the results that you like to see on some of these different studies.
You know, you're exactly right. And like I said, the TRX is a direct result of listening to your customers.
The VA, the response we got to the VA when we showed the concept form 4 years ago was incredible. I mean, it was like this drumbeat of customers saying, build it with the VA, finally, this is what I've always wanted. And so it wasn't too hard for us to listen to that feedback and do that. I mean, the traffic we had on our website when we first introduced the TRX concept was off the charts. We joked about breaking the internet with it because we had so many people coming to check out that truck and to play the recording of the engine. And so, yeah, it was, it's just been so much fun to bring this truck to market and so exciting because it's like when you buy a gift for somebody and you're very excited to share it with them. Bringing this truck to market and sharing it with truck customers has been that kind of fun.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And all those guys, you have like Nick Kappa and all those folks, you know, Mike Koval, all those folks, they go and they go out and beat the hell out of these trucks on weekends. And then they come back and say, okay, did I do anything wrong with it? Did I do this or that? And so that is so cool.
It's almost like a game. If we can break something on the truck or if we can find something that isn't working right, we have this fun little competition with our engineering colleagues and our desires to say, I found something. And as you've noticed, given all the quality progress we've made, that's become very challenging to do these days. So it's almost gotten down to the point where it's very nitpicky if we're ever able to find something that isn't quite right. But again, it's not a critical type thing as much as it is just comes from a point of passion. We're excited about this stuff. And you know, from a brand marketing person like myself, my engineering colleagues, we share that passion. And so to trade those comments back and forth, to be texting back and forth on a weekend, on a Sunday night, finding things that you found on a forum, sharing things you've observed on the truck, it's just fun. You don't even think about it as being part of your job. It's just part of who you are.
It's kind of like just guys hanging out and getting paid for it.
Not a bad way to make a living. What's the saying? If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. So, you know, we're pushing the bounds of that for sure right now.
Well, you know, you're right. And so there is so much to say about that. And, you know, also, I remember folks were talking, by the way, talking to Carl Lally from our friends at Ram. But I remember just years ago when Sergio Marchionne kind of Fiat took over the company, the first thing he said is I'm gonna throw a lot of money in these trucks because when Mercedes had you guys and the other company had you guys, Cerberus Capital Management, they just didn't put the money back in the truck that they should have. So first thing he did, he says, I'm going to upgrade the interior, make it the nicest interior on the market. And they've done that.
One of the great things about our company and one of, I think, the success stories that we've had even as a brand within Ram is that we're able to make the case to upper management of what the truck needs to have and what it needs to be successful. And then we're given the leeway to go bring that to market and make it happen with a lot of accountability that comes along with that. But it's really this culture that we have within our company where every opinion is valid and it's not layered by levels of bureaucracy. We're allowed to have those conversations very frankly uh-huh. with vice presidents, and executive vice presidents and be able to talk openly about that. And I think that's been a success point for us.
Well, you know, it really has, and you guys have done so well because he won interior. I remember you were in Luxury Car of the Year just a couple of years a year ago, and you know, the guy here that owns the network, David Gao, has an Audi A6. It's a beautiful car. It is just gorgeous. And he got in a Ram and said, you know, this Ram interior is nicer than mine. And my vehicle costs twice what this Ram cost. And it is amazing what you guys have done.
Yeah, that's kind of the fun thing we've done with this. We call it a decade of innovation. If you think about it, the things we've brought to the truck market, from a coil spring suspension that allows the truck to ride the way you might expect out of a midsize sedan, to the luxurious interiors that you were just talking about that have technology and the level of refinement and materials that make high-end import sedan buyers jealous.
Right.
To even some of the powertrain technology, everything from the eco-diesel powertrain that gets over 30 miles per gallon on the highway to this obviously incredible 6.2-liter supercharged V8 with 702 horsepower. It's just bringing those innovations to market is what's really separating Ram, I think, from the other truck makers today.
You know, and the best part about it, in my opinion anyway, the people that win are the buyers, because you have made Ford make a better truck, Chevrolet, everybody has to upgrade because you guys started this.
And the results speak for themselves. I mean, we've been gaining market share, our sales volumes have been growing. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you do the right things with the right motivation, meaning if you're doing it because it's what the customer wants and it really exceeds their expectations, they reward you with that by buying your truck. And so, yeah, we're not afraid of competition. We embrace it. And it is better for the customer at the end of the day.
It really is. All right. Now, when is this TRX going to be at the dealers?
So we're going to start shipping them here this month.
Oh.
And we'll start rolling them out to dealers a little bit later on here this month. That means, you know, before the end of the year, a couple of them will be sneaking on to dealer lots, just like we had said back in August when we pulled the wraps off this truck. And then that will grow, obviously, as we turn the corner into the new year. Through the first quarter of the year, you'll start to see those inventories build and start to see customers taking delivery of them, and not only seeing them on dealership lots, but hopefully seeing them within customers' driveways as well, or garages, as the case may be. So, yeah, it's a fun time for us right now.
No kidding, because I know that the dealer's biggest pain or the biggest problems they have from a dealer standpoint is having enough inventory.
It's a daily phone call, and it's you know, one of those things where you want to – the last thing you want to do is to have anybody wait for a great truck to kind of reach them that they're anxious about, that they're excited about. But at the same time, we've said all along that we weren't going to rush this truck to market, meaning we weren't going to skip any of the quality checks that we have in place. We're going to make sure that everything is right on this truck so that when it comes out and it gets to the customer, they're as excited as they can be, and they get to enjoy just an incredible top-quality product. So we're happy with the process that we're taking, and we're really excited to now see them start to arrive in customers' hands.
Okay, now what's the website where we can go and build our own?
Ram.com. You can absolutely go to ram.com and learn all about the all-new 2021 TRX or any other Ram truck in the lineup.
Awesome. All right. That was, folks. Carl, thanks for joining Let's Talk Wheels today.
Thanks a lot, Mike. It's always a pleasure.
Hi, folks. That was Carl Lally from our friends at Ram. Hang on, because there's more to come, including our weekly Classic Car Podcast segment with Jeremy Barenbaum from Classic.com. All of it right here on the Let's Talk Wheels radio network, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels radio network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzig.
Hey guys, how are you? Matt Perrault with you here on Let's Talk Wheels. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview. If you missed any part of it, make sure you check out the podcast. Because, well, on the podcast, which is on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you may get your podcast, right? Spotify, whatever. It's all over the place. Wherever you get your podcast, go search Let's Talk Wheels. But if you missed part of that interview or our news and notes, or you missed part of our automotive reviews, the podcast always drops right after the show onto social media, and you guys will be able to get it there. But also, you get a conversation with Jeremy Barenbaum from Classic.com. Mike and Jeremy go way back. They're talking about everything to do with putting a car together, old cars, you know, relatively newer classic cars, how to restore cars, how to do things yourself, where to buy parts, how to shop around, where to buy the best parts, all of those great questions you may have when it comes to restoring vehicles. Mike Herzing and Jeremy Barenbaum's got it for you every single week on the Let's Talk Wheels podcast edition, which is a longer version than the radio show, where we really hope you guys go and subscribe and drop reviews on Apple Podcasts. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Tell us what you think we'll improve upon going forward. So definitely check it out every week. It's the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network podcast, available where you get your podcasts. And we're back on the radio show every week right here, same place, same time, for Let's Talk Wheels on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Let's Talk Wheels Classic Car segment. As usual, we have our resident car guru, Jeremy Barenbaum from Classic.com on the line. Jeremy, what's been happening in L.A. this week?
Oh, you know, not too much. We just got our site live, so been focusing on the new five cars we have going on today.
As a matter of fact, I looked at your site. All those cars are awesome. I want them all. there's got some unique stories about a couple of them. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, so this was our first week auctioning cars, and out of the four out of five cars we sold, two of them had some pretty cool stories. One of them was that a guy was on his computer bidding with his dad. Mm-hmm. His dad had first let me tell you guys what the car was, I guess. That helped. It was a 1957 Chevrolet 3100. It was red with a white roof. Had the original straight six motor, is all very original car. Mm-hmm. And it turns out there was a guy bidding with his dad, mm-hmm. and they were at the computer and they were bidding. And it turns out this was the exact same car his dad drove. It was his first car in high school. And so they really wanted to win this car. And it turns out they were a little bit not at the reserve yet. Mm-hmm. So we sent them an email and said, hey, you guys are close. Maybe we can work something out between you and the seller. And the guy said, oh, my God, that's perfect. I'm not going to tell my dad. I'm going to surprise him for Christmas this year.
Oh, so he got it for his dad?
So he bought it for his dad, and it's the exact same color combination as the first car his dad ever drove. So I thought that was a really cool, fun story for our first week of auction.
That is really cool. I mean, you've got several vehicles, and they all look really nice. And I just like the fact that you've got all these videos and pictures and the you know, pre-purchase inspection from somebody that knows what they're doing, that it's just so nice to have that, I don't know, cushion, that safety net right there if you're spending, you know, $6,000 or $10,000, $15,000, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're just trying to make it so that you feel comfortable, you know, looking at a car no matter where it is across the country.
Yeah, because if I was in Michigan or somewhere in the Rust Belt, I wouldn't want to buy a car from there, no offense. I mean, I don't care if you only drive it on weekends. It's still going to have rust. And when you get anything from, I guess, you know, would be west of the Mississippi, it's going to be dramatically better, you know. And so,
yeah.
And so
and
that,
you know what, though? It's fine if it has rust, but I think that you as the buyer should know and be notified about
right.
that. That way
right.
that you get exactly what you're looking for.
You know, it's a shame that, you know, it's funny how all these older vehicles hold up so well. I mean, when I got my 58 F-100, I mean, I go to open the hood. That sucker weighs a ton. Oh, my God. You know, I'm like, it's crazy how much it just the sheet metal weighs. This truck is like a tank.
Yeah, you know, it's got some weight to it. And I think just the thickness of the metal
right.
itself
yeah.
really helps. With
yeah,
that.
Absolutely. And so that really helps with the rust. And also back then, they did a lot of, you know, stuff, especially starting in the, I guess, the late 60s. They had that, remember the Z-Bart, the coatings and stuff they would spray on the inside of the doors and things like that?
Yeah, totally. I don't know if that was like, you know, for a 70s or 80s sale gimmick or like if you can actually tell that cars that had that coating did better.
I think they did better, as a matter of fact. And of course, where I'm at, you don't see a lot of rust in Texas, but still there's some. But, you know, it's hard to not have rust on a vehicle that's 40, 50, or 60 years old. You know what I mean? It's almost impossible.
I mean, you know, just from being outside in the air and having exposed metal that's, you know, 60 years old, that's going to happen.
Right.
And if you look at a car and say, hey, I'm not buying that because there's a little bit of surface rust here or there, then I don't think you're looking for the right kind of cars.
You know, you're exactly right. But that makes a big difference on vehicles. So tell us about some of the other vehicles you have for sale.
So that was last week with the 57 3100. We also had a 1980 Pontiac Firebird, a Pontiac Bonneville convertible, and then a Mustang High Country Special, which I don't know if your listeners are familiar with. It's one of 333 cars produced. It was sent only to the Denver area. They all came in together on a big train. They had different engine tuning package. Appearance-wise, they looked like a standard GT car. But just the fact that they only made 133 of them was interesting. We ended up finding a buyer for the car in North Carolina, which is where it was sold. And both the buyer and the seller are cancer survivors. And so that was a cute story for them to bond over as they were talking about questions over the car.
Right. You know, kidding. I'm looking at such an eclectic group of vehicles. I mean, you've got a 67 Camaro Rustomod. You've got a 65 Corvette. A 1923 Dodge Brothers pickup, and, you know, some of these bids are, like, slow, you know. 69 Ford Ranchero, I remember those things. Those were pretty cool. You don't see that many of them. And then you got a 1930 Ford Coupe that's a hot rod. I mean, they've got so many cool things.
Yeah, we're trying, you know, each week to get a little bit of something different. You know, there might be a week where we have two Camaros or two Chevelles or something. But we kind of felt like it was a good idea to give you a little bit of splattering across the board of, you know, what's available in the classic car market right now. And, you know, each week our goal is to add one more car, or every other week to add one more car. So we go from 5 to 6 to 7. So eventually in a week we might have 10 or 15 cars for sale.
You know, that's really the hot setup. And, you know, all of the auctions end at the same time, right?
They're pretty close at the same time, yeah.
Okay, and then you've still got the original stories. And then one of the things that attracts a lot of people to your site is that it's an advertising-free experience. I don't have everything popping up in my face. It's kind of nice.
There's no pop-ups. There's no one telling you to click somewhere else or to go view this or to look at this product. It's all classic cars. It's all classic, whether it's, you know, videos and interviews from classic car owners to cars for sale or tips, tricks, you know, being in the hot rod world, what you might want to look for when buying a car, it's all in the same place at classic.com.
You know, it's really funny. CLASIQ, folks, by the way, it's classic.com. But, you know, the funny thing is having this truck, I started looking for parts for it, door seals and, you know, door moldings and little, you know, a gas tank sending unit, little stuff like that. You know, I found Max Auto Parts. That's one. You've got LMC Truck. That's another one. You've got Speedway Motors, you've got some, I mean, there's so many people that sell parts for these vehicles, and they're reasonably priced.
Yeah, totally. I mean, especially if you do your research and you get products that are nice, good quality, they should be and made in the USA, hopefully, you know,
right.
And the price isn't so bad. That's the best thing you can do for your car right now.
Yeah, I know. Just like I needed the whole sending unit. I thought I was just going to need the gasket, which was like $3. Then I realized the sending unit's leaking out of the center. So I went, okay, I'm going to pre-place the sending unit. It's easy for me because the tank's right behind the seat. And I could smell the fuel that's kind of seeping around it. The electrical fitting. And so I went, okay. And they're like $40. And I'm like, I can't go buy one for a later model be at the auto parts store for less than that. You know, I mean, that's just, the pricing is so good on all these different places.
Yeah. And, you know, part of it is, you know, you start changing one thing and while you're there, you might as well get the extra parts and do the other thing as well. You know, that happens all the time. If someone says, hey, I'm just either changing out my fuel pump, but hey, you know, if the sending unit is 20, 30 years old, you might as well put a new one in there right now. Why not do that?
Yeah, no kidding. This sending unit looks original, and that would make it, you know, 62 years old. So, you know, and I'm also working on my Willys, my 46 Willys. I needed, the steering is a little stiff and a little loose, so I think I'll just, and it needed a horn button. So let's say a horn, you know, horn wire that goes through the center of the steering column. Okay.
Yeah.
I have to pull the steering column out of the steering gearbox to do that. Of course, I have to pull the fender out of the wheel and loosen the steering gearbox. And, I mean, it's like, they recommended actually pulling the body off. And I'm like, that's just to put a horn button, a horn on it, you know. And I'm like, oh, my God. Well, I'm there. I might as well rebuild the steering box. Okay, I might as well do this or might as well do that. Because I'm going to – this is not something – this is a classic vehicle. This is not something I'm going to get rid of. This is something I'm going to keep. And that's the clue. You know, that's the deal. I'm going to keep this and we're going to have it forever, and I might as well do it the right way and make it correct. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it, because sometimes you see people that are just like, I just want to change this one part out no matter how long it takes or
absolutely.
Or what the cost is. And sometimes you're like, well, while you're there, you know, you should do A, B, and C also. And,
right.
And sometimes that's not in their head. Then you go put it all together, and then a month later, you got to go replace one of the things that you were right next to.
I know it. Jeremy, we're running out of time. How about if we talk about this a little bit more next show, next week? And I think it's going to be awesome.
Sounds good to me.
All right,
thank you,
folks,
for having me today.
All right. Don't forget now, be sure to look up the site classic.com, CLASIQ.com. They got a lot of nice vehicles. And I think, I tell you what, we're going to have a great time. Thanks for tuning into the podcast today. If anybody has a car question, email us at info@letstalkwheels.com. We're going to work to get everybody an answer. And always, remember, you can find us on our website, letstalkwheels.com, on Facebook, on Instagram. You can also, what's the site for classic.com on Facebook?
You caught me at a
classic. All right.
Interesting. I think if you just type in classic, it'll come up.
Absolutely.
CLASIQ.
SIQ. All right. Please tell your friends about the podcast and ask them to subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. So on behalf of Matt Perrault, Jeremy Berenbaum, our producer Jack McCraw, and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio podcast. I'm Mike Herzing, and as always, happy motoring.